Romans chapter 4. There are just four words I want you to think about from this chapter. An old friend of mine had taken some interest in the Bible. And he was struggling, trying to understand how God works and what the Bible really teaches, especially when it comes to the question, am I good enough? Questions like, how good is good enough? And he's particularly learning things from other people, reading some of the Bible, and he got hung up in one area when he heard this one story or read the story about a certain man who was dying. And this criminal, he in a single second, suddenly was reassured by Christ that he would be okay. We know the story with a Christian background. We who read the Bible heard the story. But my friend was shocked by the story, and he struggled to come to grips with this idea that here's a man who's a criminal. And likely he lived his life that way, a bad man. And now he was dying for his crimes. And then just in the blink of an eye, Jesus could say, it's okay. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. And as my friend thought about it, he said, in effect, it just didn't seem right. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem just. It doesn't seem fair. Here's this ungodly criminal. And he simply says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. How can this be justified? How can God justify this if this is really the way God works? In that fourth chapter of Romans, in the fifth verse, there are four words that follow one another, not necessarily immediately. But they follow one another, and these are perhaps the most stunning, the most dumbfounding, the most jolting words in the Bible. God justifies the wicked. God justifies the wicked. To some, it's outrageous. It's appalling. It's unthinkable that God should justify the wicked. But to others, we take great encouragement. Others take comfort and are elevated perhaps from an all-time low to an all-time high that God should treat such a wicked person in such a wonderful way. To some, they find reason to celebrate. Why does justification give us a reason to celebrate? Why would justification lift us from the pit of despair to a mountaintop of joy? The Westminster Shorter Catechism Question 33 asks the question, what is justification? Basically, what does justification look like? How does it work? Well, if we're going to get to joy, then we have to understand that. The Catechism says, here is justification. It is an act of God's free grace wherein He pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight only or because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us or credited to us and received by faith or trusting Christ alone. What is justification? In a nutshell, it means that God accepts us. And if you sense that you may be an evil person, a wicked person, if you sense that you're not good enough, you may find great comfort and joy to know that God does accept sinners. Now, as we unfold this whole concept of justification, which my friends struggled with, that how can God justify an action of accepting someone who probably wasted his life, and then in the last moment, He just says it's okay. The Shorter Catechism says justification is an act. It's an act. And it's not a process. If we're going to understand it and appreciate it, you realize that it doesn't happen over a period of time. It doesn't happen like you're spiritually developed into this greater, better person. It's not a metamorphosis. It is simply like this thief on the cross at the last moment of his life. Bam. Justified. In a second. And it's an act of God, is what the Catechism reminds us. It's an act of God. Put it more specifically, if you want Scripture reference, Romans 8:23, it's to ask, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who will bring a charge, a condemning charge, against those God has chosen? And then verse 23 goes on to say, it is God who justifies. God does the justifying. How's anybody going to argue if God's the judge and He's the one saying, He's okay. You're okay. I know you got a history, etc., but I justify you. It's a one-time act of God. An act of God. Now, most of us have insurance policies. Many of us. And maybe you have it on your house, for example. And often in these policies, you'll find a little phrase or a little clause called acts of God. Right? Does the insurance cover an act of God or not? The act of God are things like struck by lightning, you know, flood, a snowstorm strikes, and these are in the insurance business considered acts of God. And of course, to our way of thinking, these are not good things. But when it comes to justification, it is a good thing. And it's like lightning. Bam! You're struck with something good. And it's from God, like a flood. Like a snowstorm. It just came down from heaven and whew, there it is. Just in an hour or something. Just like that. It's right there. Justification is just like that. An act of God. And what does the act accomplish? You know, it's like a judge. All of a sudden, you hear the stuff, you hear the case of the court, and finally, the judge takes the gavel and, bam, not guilty. In an instant, you're innocent, declared innocent. Well, the Catechism says justification is an act of God, God's free grace, wherein He pardons all our sins. He pardons all our sins. Now, if we would look, for example, at certain scriptures, we could see how God treats the ugliness that we create in our lives. Let me give you some of the imagery, which will help us, because it's quite vivid and instructive for us. Isaiah 38, 17 speaks of God putting our sins behind His back. That's a great image. If you want to understand what justification is, and you're trying to see the wrong or the ugliness that maybe haunts you, well, when God looks at you, it's hidden behind His back. He can't see it. He's looking at you, but He can't find it, so to speak. Or the imagery presented in Micah 7:19, where it's actually a double image there, where it says He treads our sins under His feet. You know, He just crushed them out, you know, like a cigarette. For one time, you had this long thing, and it's probably not good for you, fit for you, smoking it. The next thing you know, it's a butt, and you put it down, and ugly and everything. But He comes along, and next thing you know, you can't even see it. It's just crushed under His feet. The rest of that image goes on to say, or the other image in that verse of Micah 7 is, it casts our sins into the bottom of the sea. Disposes of them into the deepest, darkest place. Helpful images to help for us to appreciate what justification is about, at least this aspect of it. And then there's the image in Isaiah 43 where it speaks of blotting out our sins. And we all know what that's like with terms of whiteout, right? That's a great thing when they came out with that, whiteout. You make a mistake, you're typing along or something on a piece of paper and you just get this little white paint and there it is. Can't see it anymore. What was that mistake? I don't know. It's whited out. Or the image in the rest of the verse in Isaiah 43:25, he goes on to say, He remembers our sins no more. This is God saying, I don't remember your sins. Maybe you remember them, but I don't remember them. He chooses not to bring up the subject. By the way, it's a good way for you to treat other people when you truly forgive them. Don't bring up the subject. Justification, God doesn't bring up the subject. He doesn't even recall what it was. That's the image He gives us. Not that He could forget anything, but that's what He wants. That's how He wants us to enter in to appreciate what your justification is, if you are justified before Him. And let me give you a pastoral encouragement from Romans 4:6. If you're forgiven, you're blessed. I don't want you to forget that. If you know your pardon of your sins, you are receiving the hand of God's blessing right now. His hand of blessings upon you. Romans 4:6, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person to whom the Lord does not count sin. To be justified means we're blessed because we're forgiven. But then there's the positive side. That's the negative. The positive is that not only are you forgiven, but you are considered righteous. You are considered like you have kept all the commandments of God. I think that one's more difficult for us to wrap our mind around. We struggle a little bit maybe with forgiven. Being forgiven, but to actually think that I am viewed as a good person, an upright person, who always does the right thing, that's hard because we know what reality is. Question in 33, the Catechism says, justification, not only is it an expression of God pardoning all our sins, but He accepts us as righteous in His sight. It's an act of God's free grace where He accepts us as righteous in His sight. If you need Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Christ was made sin for us, He who knew no sin, so that we might be made righteous. So that we might be made the righteousness of God. As if we had never broken. Are never broken in the first place. Warren Wiersbe, the late Warren Wiersbe, tells a story, great story, about this man who owned a Rolls Royce. Rolls Royce, you know, is many consider the car of all cars. You got this, you got it all. And luxurious, reliable, the car that many would want to have. And well, Wiersbe says a man had it. He's in London, and apparently he must have some money. He puts this, he's going on holiday, and he puts his Rolls Royce on this boat, the ferry, and the ferry takes off somewhere, and they land the boat, and he gets the Rolls Royce off, and he drives off, and he's driving out into the country and enjoying his vacation. And while he's on vacation, unfortunately, it breaks down. So he calls the Rolls Royce people, and they fly a mechanic. I mean, this is Rolls Royce. They're flying a mechanic right to his place of vacation, and he fixes it on the spot. Then the mechanic leaves. The guy finishes his vacation. Wiersbe says, when the man got home who owned the Rolls Royce, he thought, this is going to cost me a fortune. So he contacted the company, and this is what the company, how they responded. They wrote him and said, "Dearest Rolls Royce owner, there is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls Royce." You know, when you are given justification, you are given a luxurious righteousness, and you may feel like it's broken, you might feel like something has gone wrong, but when it comes to your justification and God declaring you righteous, in His sight, His files say that nothing has ever been broken about you. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. He declares us in a single act to be together, to be upright, never to be broken again. It's a hard thing for us to wrap our minds around, but it's an act of God's free grace which He gives you who are trusting in Christ. You are a luxurious person in His sight. And it is possible through our Savior, who through one single act of obedience, His life, of obedience, His righteousness is yours for the taking as you trust in Him. And for some of us, we have a hard time dealing with that. We have a hard time seeing ourselves, to think that God could view us as a positive, good enough person. You know, a while back there was another survey. It was a survey taken among vice presidents. I want to share this with you. And there were some personnel directors, and they were surveying some stuff on had to do with interviews. And they asked these personnel people, "Have you ever been in an interview where something weird went down?" And so they got this data, and here's some of the data they got that these companies reported back to through the survey. One guy was applying for a job, and he challenged the interviewer to arm wrestle him. You can imagine that. He's applying for a job, and come on, I'll arm wrestle you. Maybe he's trying to arm wrestle him for the job. I don't know. But another candidate is wearing earphones, okay? He's got earphones, she's got earphones. And the person doing the interview says, "Do you mind taking those earphones off?" And she says, "No, it's okay." She says, I can hear the music and you at the same time." You can imagine, you know, wanting to hire that person. There was another one, a woman who's sitting there, and she opens her purse up, and in the middle of the interview, this is through the Wisconsin State Journal, she takes out her lunch and begins to eat it in the middle of the interview. She said, "You know, this is my lunch time, and I didn't really get a chance to eat, so I hope you don't mind." And then there was this balding, they say there was a balding guy losing his hair, and he's sitting down, and apparently something must have come over him, because as he was talking to the interviewer, he said, "You have to excuse me for a minute." So he stepped out, the balding man, he steps out and he came back in a couple minutes later with a full head of hair. You know, he forgot his toupee. And he puts it on. And then there was this other woman who applies and interrupts the question. I guess she got stumped on a question. She says, excuse me, I have to make a call. She made a call and called her therapist to ask for advice right in the middle of the interview. And so anyway, obviously these people sound so unqualified, don't they? They sound so unqualified. I mean, who should ever expect for any of them to have a position anywhere in this world? In the same way, why should you ever expect to have any position in the world to come? You're just as odd. You have certain weirdness about you that is unacceptable. In a certain light, we can laugh at. Sometimes we might cry because we're so weird in certain occasions. And as we look at ourselves from certain angles. And yet God justifies the oddballs. God justifies the wicked. Yes, He even justifies criminals, which my friend struggled with. He had a hard time thinking about a person maybe wasting their life, and yet God in a single finger just enter into my kingdom. You want me to remember you in my kingdom? Come on in. It's okay. You see, justification is an act of God's free grace wherein He pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ, imputed or credited to you, and received by faith, by trusting Christ alone. Well, I'll give you one more illustration so we can get this deep into our thoughts as we struggle with this question, am I good enough? Some of you saw the older movie, As Good As It Gets. And, you know, Helen Hunt, Jack Nicholson, and they're in an odd relationship. And so Jack Nicholson actually is trying to make the relationship happen. And he's a peculiar, odd person. He's got these quirky things about his life, you know, not stepping on cracks and, you know, and like washing his hands and doing all kinds of weird phobias. And so he finally gets enough courage to ask this woman out for a date. And so they're going out. She accepts because she owes him big time, but for a favor. And they go to the restaurant, and they accept Helen Hunt into the restaurant, and then Jack Nicholson tries to go in. Oh, where are you going? You're not coming here like that, are you? You know, he's not dressed right. He doesn't have the suit coat. And so he doesn't have this suit coat on. You need a tie and a suit to get in there. And so he leaves, and he's going to try to get dressed up right. He's looking around, and he rushes down to this store, and he stands at the door. I guess he's like, he looks inside. I don't think he's afraid to step on more cracks. And he tells, hey, come here. Come here, come here. He says, I need to buy a suit or suit coat. He says, give me that one over there. There's a tie. Give me that tie. Yeah, right there. And somehow he pays for him without even going in the building. Anyway, so he finally gets his suit coat on and a tie, and he goes back to the restaurant, and they take him right in. You see, now he's dressed right. Now he has what it takes. And my friend had trouble with that as he considered this criminal hanging there on the cross, and he's thinking to himself, this guy doesn't have what it takes. He said, I got real problems. I mean, because of the kind of clothing this guy's been wearing his whole life. He's not the kind of guy that God should be accepting. How can this be? That in an instant, that this terrible person could all of a sudden be clothed right, good enough for God to accept. Romans 5:19 says, by the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, many shall be declared righteous. You see, the question is, are you trusting your goodness? Are you trusting in the goodness and the uprightness of Christ? There's the bottom line. And if you're wearing His goodness, boy, you're really good. I mean, you're the Rolls Royce of all Rolls Royces. You're really a standout. Unfortunately, my old friend at the time was upset when he thought about that criminal ending up in heaven. And it troubled him. And how can it be that God would let a bad person into His heaven? And the idea of a criminal going to heaven can cause you to be troubled, or it can cause you to celebrate, knowing the fact that God does indeed justify even the most wicked who trust in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness and to be good enough for God to receive. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that justification is an act of Your free grace, wherein You do pardon us for all of our sins, and You do accept us as upright in Your sight because of the goodness of Christ, which He freely credits to us as we trust in His goodness and not in our own. Amen. Well, let's...